This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Here we are, we're live. And we are ready for a brand new week. Well, I am. I don't know if you... Are you ready for a brand new week?
Yeah, I'm here, Gareth. I'm so ready, I'm actually here.
Excellent, I'm very pleased. Leanne is not here today. She said she's got all of these conditions. She has
broken down.
I mean, between her and Gord, we've got serious health issues on the show. I mean, really.
Well, yeah.
Some health issues. I mean, she says intense nausea,
yeah.
No sleep. Sorry, guys. See you tomorrow. So,
and apparently, and the doctors confirmed it was all brought on by watching The Bachelor on Friday.
Yeah, apparently that's the reason she's not
Leanne's,
feeling good.
Leanne's allergic to The Bachelor.
Shocking.
She said she started grinding her teeth. She felt really nauseous, and then out of nowhere, that was it.
Well,
so she's on antibiotics.
We'll talk about The Bachelor because I didn't watch it on Thursday. I had load shedding, but I did end up watching it on Sunday afternoon. It was on. They did a repeat.
Well, also just catch up, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
there are still some things that are first world in this country.
I don't think I know how to use ketchup. I don't think I've ever used it. I don't know what it is.
It's actually really great once you discover it.
Okay, well.
Hi, Sia.
Hey, Sia, what's up?
You're sauntering in here like it's just your own thing.
Good morning. Mm-mm. I'm sauntering in like one of the contestants of The Bachelor.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We'll talk about them in a minute. There's lots to get into today.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. How was everybody's weekend? Let's get onto that. And by the way, you can call us. You know what to do anytime you like. I've got the screen right in front of me, and it's so easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
You just call, I answer, we're on. It's that simple. How was your weekend?
Well, after it rained for 10 days here in Joburg, all the golf courses were closed, and I did some work, Gareth.
Interesting. Okay, so that's what it needs. You need rain to get some work done because otherwise you'll play golf.
Oh, no, I'm quite disciplined. I'll get work done. It's just that I would like to play golf at some stage. I'm playing on Thursday, though.
Oh, very nice.
I'm so excited. I'm like counting it down. This is where my life's at right now.
You know, it's an amazing thing. Like, people who love golf just are, they love golf.
So much to love.
To the point of distraction.
So much to love.
No. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad or good. It's probably good because you get out there, you get some physical exercise. It's something to look forward to. And let's face it, people don't have a lot to look forward to in their lives. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people wake up in the morning and like, I just can't wait for my day to be over, which is a horrible thing to do.
Yeah, I just want to get back into bed.
Same. I mean, what an awful thing to have to face every day. And I know that there's a real, you know, issue with depression. And what do they say? I can't remember what. A lot of people. I mean, it's not a majority, but a very big minority of people are suffering with depression every day. And of course, social media and all that stuff doesn't help.
Yeah.
Because it makes people who are depressed look for things that make them sad. I mean, I was listening to this really interesting interview with a psychologist, a Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. And she was talking about
fabulous surname.
I know. It's great. Good Greek surname, that. So Linda Papadopoulos is this professor of psychology. And she was talking about how, you know, if you are depressed and if you're the type of person who is prone to being a little cynical, not necessarily seeing the bright side of life, social media provides you with so much fodder to find reasons to be depressed.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And then it feels like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're like, oh, I knew the world was going to end. Oh, I knew people were terrible. Oh, I knew horrible things happened to people all the time. Instead of looking around going, you're living in the safest, most prosperous, most accessible sort of time and space for humans to gather information and learn about each other in all of human history. But don't let that get in your way. Rather look for reasons to be miserable. You know,
yeah.
I'm not talking about depression and misery. I know they're different things.
Yes.
You know, on the show, we've spoken many times about how you curate your social media to make it work for you.
Yes.
And it really does make a big difference, you know, muting those sort of evil words and acronyms.
Well, you did what that, you mean? And I haven't really... So I haven't done that. That's very clever. Just explain what you've done.
So I just simply muted all the acronyms of evil and negativity.
Yes.
So ANC, BLF, EFF... I'm used to DA as well.
Yep.
Although I will vote for them. It's just that they're part of this whole cesspit of crap out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Kardashian, and there was one other.
You muted Kardashian?
Yeah, it just, like, it just felt better. Like, I go on social media and I smile again, and, you know, I just look at things that are interesting and things I want to read and then things I want to talk about in the show, because that's what it should be.
Yeah, that's what we should be using it for. It's a resource.
Window to the world of other, bigger, better things.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point that this professor is making is that this stuff also manifests itself physically. So there's obviously...
The
mind and the body are linked.
Mm-hmm. Intrinsically.
Yeah, and she was talking about how, you know, when, like, you've got a really big, and this often happens for girls more than guys, because girls, these things manifest for them in physical ways that they wouldn't necessarily for boys. Like, if you're a girl and you're going to an important event and you get a pimple because you're anxious, that's happening because you're anxious. Yeah. It's not, oh my God, there's a pimple suddenly out of nowhere. It's, oh my God, I've got this big event. I'm worrying. Cortisol levels go up and all the physiological changes that accompany that in the skin, which is your largest organ, let's not forget. Suddenly you have a breakout in your face. This happens.
Yeah.
And she's been doing research into, she's a professor of psychology, but she's doing some other studies around, you know, the relationship between mental health and your physical being. And we know that this is true because... if you get enough exercise, for example, you're a happier person, generally. This is why it brought me to, you know, what Ben was talking about with golf earlier. For some people, if you don't have that thing you can look forward to, that thing you're excited about, that gets your mental health in the right place, and you then do the physical exercise, which is like a virtuous cycle rather than a bad self-fulfilling prophecy, you get yourself into good habits. You start doing things that are good for you,
yeah, exactly.
Rather than things that are bad for you.
You know, I used to knock cyclists and I middle aged.
You didn't actually knock them over with cars or anything.
Yeah, no, I definitely stopped that.
Yeah,
but I used to
stop. I used to.
So you know, like all of my sort of, I don't really have a defined group of friends. I have a variety of friends that I find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like probably my biggest group of friends who all got married at the same time, all had kids at the same time, all discovered things like Iron Man and all these other midlife crises at the same time. Mm-hmm. And like being the cynical outsider that I am, obviously I was quite cynical of that and just pulled the piss a bit in a playful and innocent way.
Yeah.
But I don't knock that anymore. You know, obviously working with this guy Hobbo, who you guys are going to meet quite soon, he's going from the worst shape of his life to half Iron Man. The world around this is so huge, and now I see why people get involved in this.
Yeah.
Because it gives you, like Gareth said, something to work on every single
aspect
of your life.
And a sense of belonging.
A sense of belonging gives everyone a chance to channel all of this stuff to this great pinnacle. And I'm seeing a guy become happier and better in a day-to-day process. I'm thinking, that's why people do it.
Hmm.
Like, it's no mystery.
And, you know, we often talk on this show, and we tend to, I suppose we sometimes sound, and it's not because we're trying to, but we sometimes sound like we're, you know, mocking a whole lot of groups of people, and we make fun of this bunch and that bunch, and we think we're somehow better off or superior. We do.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sia's hugely superior, right? He's got this massive mean. Superiority complex. I don't, by the way, it's one of the things that made me take notice of Sia right in the beginning, and it's why he has got so far in his career so quickly. He's 24 years old, and he's basically management. And that doesn't happen.
Looks 42. But.
That doesn't happen to people who have an inferiority complex or a victim complex and never see themselves as winners. I mean, Sia sees himself as better than all of us, which is fine. If you're a secure person and someone walks into a room and they think they're better than you, you're okay with it. It's not bothering you, you know?
It's never bothered me, yeah.
No.
Oh, Ben.
You see, that's also why you guys get along. But the fact is, and I don't want to get... stuck in personality discussions around Sia because we'll be here all day. But there are a lot of people who don't have confidence, right? They don't have a sense of belonging. They don't have a purpose. They don't have much meaning in their life. They feel like they are working for a salary. And be honest with yourself. If you're driving into work now, you're listening to us live, or you know, whenever you listen to this, just sit down and draw up a little list. Am I doing what I do because I really love it and it fulfills me and it gives me meaning and purpose and I feel like I'm integrated into the world and I'm providing either additional knowledge or productivity or I'm adding value or whatever it might be. Be honest, are you doing that? Or are you just going into work to earn the salary, to pay the rent, to do those basic things? Because if it's the former and not the latter, the chances of you having a great day, a great week, a great month, and a great year are much improved.
Yeah.
And that's only with career. Then you got to look at your relationships. And again, I've never put myself forward as being any kind of expert in the relationship world, but I do believe that if a relationship is in any way toxic and you're codependent, you spend more time fighting than you are happy with each other, you don't do things for each other without expecting a reward, there isn't emotional manipulation going on. If that's the kind of relationship you've got, you're very, very fortunate. Then that's a healthy thing. That's making your life better. Chances are you'll have a better day, better week, better month, better year. And then you got to look at, I mean, so we've got work, we've got relationships, you've got to look at family. Obviously, if you're a parent or a child, or you have a lot of family in your life, cousins, uncles, aunts, nephews, whatever it might be, and you've got healthy relationships with all of them, that helps as well. Then you got to look at whether or not you're physically healthy and happy.
Hmm.
Are you genuinely miserable about your body? Do you feel, I mean, I felt very fat yesterday, for example, but I'll be over it by the end of this week. I'll work that out.
I'll work it.
You've got a goal, right? So you figure it out. You beat yourself up in the gym or whatever you have to do. And then, of course, you got to look at the intellectual stuff, because this is an area that I feel is much neglected. Is people don't push themselves here. It's too hard. There's too much going on. Oh, I've got to get this work done. Oh, I don't have time. I've got to fetch the kids from school. Oh, I've got to read this thing that I've got to hand in at varsity tomorrow. And people don't push themselves intellectually. They don't find things that interest them and explore every angle of that. I love finding a topic and exhausting the internet on it. Like if there's something very, very small, very niched, and I find whatever it might be in one of these diverse
Charlie's Theron nudes.
I think that would be difficult to exhaust. I really think that's a tough call. But yeah, I mean, for example, and I'm trying to aim this a little more highbrow, Ben. I'm trying to get a little bit more intellectual about it. But the fact is, people don't really, they don't have time, or they don't choose to prioritize time to feed the brain. We all know that if you don't do a bit of maintenance of the body, it deteriorates. But the same is true for your brain. If you don't keep stimulating that, you're going to go backwards. And I know people who are super busy. They're like surgeons. They work 10 to 12 hour days, and they still find time to read stuff, not necessarily to do with their work, outside of their work, that they love, that they're interested in.
Mm.
And that is important. And again, reading can be replaced by podcasting, because then it can fit into your day.
Mm.
You can do more of it. Or you can get an audio book and listen to that. That's often a good way to do it.
So right, Gareth. It comes back to, of course, what you do with your time. Like, when you get older, you always think, oh, I wish I had more time. Time.
Yeah.
Like, Sia's got time. He's 24.
We but all even, have time.
But even then, he's thinking, shit, if I just had more, did more when I was 22.
Yeah, but that's another thing you shouldn't do, is just hold on to stuff and don't regret.
Sure, but if
you're better
with your time, then you don't have to have that problem.
I meet people all the time who are trapped in a cycle of regret. God, it's terrible. You see them, and all they're doing is living so much in the past that they're unable to project any kind of future that doesn't have hooks stuck in events that happened 10, 12, 15 years ago. And you're like, come on. You can't do that to yourself. That's like dragging boulders up the hill, pushing them up the hill like Sisyphus, the Greek. You know the myth about Sisyphus, right?
No.
Sisyphus would push this rock up to the top of a hill every day, and he was cursed by the gods. So the rock would then roll down, and you have to push it up again the next day, over and over again for eternity.
That was his curse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, his brother Syphilis also came off. Oh. Was also cursed by the gods.
I know that one. I know that one all too well.
You know, we go for the short-term stuff. We don't go for the long-term stuff too. I don't know when this became a self-help lecture this morning.
Well, this is good for Monday morning, Monday. Actually. That is what amazing. I was thinking.
It's shocking.
Listen to us.
I've got to stop this. I'm sounding like those motivational speakers.
No, but Gareth, look, it's right.
Get, you know, Brett Lindekew in here.
We often lose sight of these things because of things like social media taking us into stupid conversations about various things.
Imagine if you channeled, and people, I love it, it's always the people who say, oh, I don't have time. They got time to be on social media. They're posting 6 things a day on Instagram, and you're like, really? You don't have time? You're updating. You put more selfies on Instagram this week than anyone else I know. And you don't have time?
Well, the truth is, it's about what you prioritize. We all have the same amount of time, but it's about what you make time for.
Yeah.
And I can't remember where I read that, but it was in the context of relationships and finding out what you mean to someone. If someone says, I don't have time for you, I don't have time to see you.
That, what that means is you don't want to see them.
Yeah. You aren't a priority to them. Exactly. And I swear that now changed. Like, why am I devoting so much energy to Ben when Ben doesn't prioritize me as much? So, okay, let's just cut our losses and move on.
Right.
Not you directly, Ben, just in an example.
No, but like, guys, everything that we've spoken about in the last 10 minutes is the actual best life. Not this like, okay, this is a picture, this is a one thing. Mm-hmm. Because so much anxiety goes into getting that right. This is like the actual best life.
It is.
Well, I need to tell my helper all of these things because...
Oh, you've got... she's not... Sia's helper has got a terrible attitude, apparently. She fucking hates him. So she does things like she's very passive-aggressive. Listen to this. This is hilarious. She told me in the car on the way to a meeting last week.
You know, all right, hang a second. So you get this at work from Jane, and then you go
home. And then I go home. And
more Jane.
I swear, I'm just abused in my life. Wow. So, like, she started working for my roommate and I, and she pops in a couple of times a week just to help around the house. And she started probably about like 3 months ago. And at first, it was little comments that we just glaze over and think, oh, no, she doesn't mean it. Or, no, I guess this is her way of joking.
But, like, what sort of comments?
She would walk into...
More vodka bottles.
Yeah, she'd walk into the kitchen and she'd find empty wine bottles and she'd go, huh, drinking again. We're like, what? What is that, you know?
Oh, judgy.
And then she'd go into the laundry basket like, my, aren't we busy with so many dirty clothes here? Like, woman, like, I'm sorry. No, you don't have to be this person. But now the cherry on top was... This weekend and the past couple of days in Joburg, it's been rainy, so she doesn't really have a place to hang all of our clothes. But she just decided to... Oh, another thing is we actually got her because her boyfriend is one of the security guards at our complex. And there have been several occasions where if I were to come home earlier or my roommate comes home and we'd find her boyfriend, aka the security guard, sitting in our lounge.
Oh, no.
While she, like, irons or while she cleans. And then it's always this like awkward thing of, you know, and she's older than me. Maybe it's an age thing, and maybe like I view her with respect, but at the same time,
she doesn't respect
you. You're here to help me. You can't now have this. You know, isn't it awkward?
And then he just sits there like, you know, okay, make me a cup of coffee.
Yeah, now I'm like, I don't know what to say, so now I have to go and wait in my room while the lovers finish up in the lounge.
Oh no, very bad.
Yeah, so now over the weekend, because it's been raining a lot, she just decided very casually to not let us know that there's like wet laundry outside, and she just left things out hanging, and we didn't know. So we just discovered this like on Sunday that all of our clothes are outside in this rain, so they're all sopping wet. And so, like, my roommate and I were sitting last night, we were having this whole strategic conversation of how we go about giving her the boot, and I don't know how to, like, confrontation is so awkward to me. But you know, this is kind of the last straw. And I'm not overreacting, right?
No, you're right. It is awkward because then her boyfriend, the security guard, is then going to be uppity about this too. But at the same time, this is what we have to do. This isn't ESCOM.
I don't like this.
If you aren't doing their jobs, they must just get chucked. It's nothing personal. She sounds shit at her job. Like, really bad.
Yeah, it's hard. It is a hard thing to do, but you've got to do it. If you don't, you basically are signing up to keep on taking the abuse.
And there'll be new layers. Trust me, they'll start doing different other things together now in that place. They'll start making like their own house.
You know, like the judgment of the wine was one thing, but like when you...
Yeah, but yeah,
it looked just horrible.
Unfortunately, this is just a human nature thing. People look to always find weakness in life and then manipulate it and capitalize on that.
Yeah, but I can tell she hates us as well.
But that too. So she comes to a place of hate and she
hates you.
Yeah, she hates us.
She hates you, huh?
Like, one of these days, I think she'll just, like, poison our food and just leave it in the fridge.
Okay. No, you got to get rid of her now because...
Basically, you got to move,
Otherwise, she's going to find ways to turn that hate into real stuff and, like, you're going to see things are going to go missing.
Lying.
You know, and then the boyfriend will pass on information about when you're there and when you're not, and your place will be broken into, and you don't need that shit in your life.
So yes, Monday the 18th of February, you can find a new apartment and just say you're immigrating.
No, I'm not moving. I'm not going
I'm
to
giving you
for the occasion.
I'm giving you a plan B. Can you sit down and say, hi, you're shit at your job. I don't like you.
Well, let's
you
not say it like that.
Well, I know, but I mean, that's what I'm getting at here. So if you can't do that, then you've got to move.
But 2 weeks ago, we also found her on the phone while she was using my roommate's hair straightener for her own wig. And we're like,
oh, God,
there's so much to get into in this moment.
Yeah. Like, all right, she's licking your toothbrush as well.
Here's an important message from Carl, who's very active on email. By the way, I don't know what's gone on with our message system. We used to have this one screen, and I don't know if the company that does it has gone out of business. I'm not even sure of what's
They're
happening.
They're always sending 40,000 apology messages.
Okay, so we're trying to figure that out, but you can still email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com. You can call us if you want to talk to us on the phone on 0861-555-189. And if you want to Skype us, we could try that too. All right, that's Cliff Central, one word. So this is from Carl. He says, good morning, Tony Robbins. Thanks for Motivational Monday. I tune in for lavatorial hilarity. Please get back to that. Thanks, Carl.
Blow it out your ass, Carl. We're not just circus monkeys. We'll talk about what we talk about.
Yeah. That's some lavatorial. That's our comment to you, Carl. By the way, we haven't had, because we've chased out a lot of the people here. We don't have as many.
These rogue elements that would just be here.
We don't have people abusing our bathrooms anymore.
I know, it's been bliss.
Isn't it? So, yeah, have you noticed an improvement in the bathrooms?
Oh, goodness.
Like, they're mostly clean. Lord. Nobody shits against the back wall anymore.
I mean, it doesn't look like you're about to conduct a forensic sort of search through things. No, it looks quite normal.
So here we go, Carl. This isn't because you asked, but it just occurred to me now that things are much, much better. Not marginally, much better. Because we've got rid of... You know, the worst period was when we were doing that stuff with Touch Central. Yes. Jesus.
Oh, gosh.
During that time, there were people in and out of here all the time, shitting.
Just, but like, in a malicious sense, as we always said, it was malicious shitting.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to just hate a lot about life if you're just taking it out of the porcelain, too.
Carl, I actually do blame you for
and
this
saving it up,
now.
Saving it up
saving
for
it
when
for
you come
here.
To work.
Yeah. It's like, no, I'm going to hold it in. I'm almost at Cliff Central.
Okay, thanks, folks.
And that's motive, people. I mean, there we go, guilty.
I mean, you talk about... I bet you that helper of yours is taking gigantic shits in your house because she doesn't want anything to do with making you happy or making your life
better.
She
waits until your place.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Good morning, what's up?
Hey, Garrett, how are you?
Cool, who's this?
It's John.
Yeah, John, go for it.
Listen, just to remember, you guys talked about the... sitting in the shower a couple of weeks ago, last week.
Yes.
I've got a problem. So we have this disabled toilet at work.
Yeah.
And I went into our men's room. It was fully occupied. And then I was like, I need to go into this disabled toilet. So as I walked into the disabled toilet, so keeping in mind, it's only a toilet. There's no urinal or anything.
Yeah.
I caught this dude taking a piss in the basin.
Oh, no.
Now, do I report this to HR? Because now, obviously, now it's a bit awkward. He knows that I know. Mm. He didn't take it.
Well, let's go around the room. Let's see what advice there is. Okay, we'll start with Ben. Go
hang on.
Ben wants to hop in. He's very excited about
John,
this.
John, so many questions. Was this person differently abled himself?
No.
So just basically going in
there. In fact, he's a supervisor.
So going, I mean, is he well-humored? Is he known as the office prankster?
No.
Okay, so he was literally going there to create a crime scene, basically. Shitting in the basin.
No, pissing in the basin.
Oh. Either way?
Yeah, he's pissing in the basement, but he forgot to lock the door. So I walked in, this guy taking a piss. While flushing, obviously he's got the taps open.
What an animal.
But then pissing in the basin.
But there's a toilet right there.
I don't know, bro.
What do I do? I mean, like, does this guy have any beef with people who are differently abled in the office?
Yeah, is he having
a fight with
a wheelchair checking perception or something?
It's okay. So, all right.
It's so vicious. Sia, what would you advise?
Are you able, John, at this point to even sustain eye contact with the supervisor?
I'm guessing no.
Well, he's not my supervisor, but he knows I know, so.
I would just use, because I'm just twisted in this way, I would use it as blackmail.
Yeah, that's what I was scheming.
Yeah, see.
Just keep it in your arsenal, and when you need to pull out, there's going to be a point where you and he have conflict. You're like, hey, remember that that time you pissed in the basin and I saw you, don't, I've never forgotten.
But you can have post-traumatic stress disorder from this. I mean, I already do.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite disrespectful.
I mean, it's especially disrespectful to the disabled people who are going to go and wash their hands in that basin that he's peed in.
But John, you always got to think, if he's doing that, what else is he doing? Because people who piss in basins, this isn't their only thing. Like, what else is he doing?
Oh, have you done studies on people?
Yes, the studies have been showing that if you're pissing in the basin is the start of many, many things.
All right.
Well, next time he pisses me off, I'm going to tell him that you guys know.
So well, you've told all of us without revealing his name. Now we'll be waiting for the day that you don't get your way with him and you reveal his name on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. One time.
All right, dude.
No, because this is the kind of person that drags his knob over like the photocopier.
Yeah, that's exactly right. These are people that there's some serious problems here. There's an issue.
Imagine how awkward it is, though. You very, walk very in and now it's like, sorry. What did you say?
Terrible. You know what? Like, we've got to have, I think in classes in primary schools in South Africa, you've got to sit down the kids when they're still impressionable and can learn. Say, listen to me. This is how you use plumbing. Because I don't think a lot of people know. Like there are, and it's got nothing to do with socioeconomic position. Like I know rich people who behave very badly and who also treat their bathrooms like a crime scene, and I know poor people who do exactly the opposite. So it's got to do with respect. I mean, that's your ablutions need to be respectful.
No, I've once dumped a guy over the state of his bathroom at home.
Nice. There we go. Very good.
We had gone on a couple of dates, and then the first time I was having dinner at his house, I walked in to use the loo.
Ugh,
I was grimy. Like, this is not going to end well. It was horrific.
It was just awful. It was smelly and dirty and
made up an excuse, and I said, I have to go.
Oh, good. Good for you.
I think I made a good life decision there.
It's a very good life decision. Yeah.
There we go.
See. All right. Five things you need to know this morning, since it's just after 5:30. Let's get into those. Here are the big stories of the day. And we'll try to keep them brief. People like the comments, but I've been told that it's been going on too long. So, all right. The DA has unveiled its new billboard located at the Queen Elizabeth Bridge in Joburg. The display with the headline, "The ANC has killed the lights," suggests that Eskom and the ANC have failed the country. Well, it's not suggesting. That's true. Who's this from? ENCA. Listen, guys, your readers, if you have any respect for them, are not that stupid. Suggests is not necessary here as a word. And I love to take the opportunity in the mornings to correct the mainstream media where they screw up as well. Good as you usually are at your job, the display suggesting that Eskom and the ANC have failed the country is more than a suggestion when they say the ANC has killed the lights. Someone needs to sit down, whoever wrote that headline, and explain to them basic comprehension. Sunday's unveiling comes days after South Africans were plunged into darkness for 5 consecutive days while the cash-strapped power utility battled coal shortages. True as that may be, I don't see how that translates into votes for the DA. I'm not suddenly going to go, oh, well, thank God the DA is there for me to vote for.
Well, I think this is their version of campaigning now. DA, aka the billboard party.
And the negative propaganda
party. But guys, it's all there is. I mean, I think we'll just cut the shit now. It's the only party. The other one is a criminal organization. The other one wants socialism. There aren't any other ones. So, I mean, we can really actually... The DA aren't great. We all know that. In fact, they're pretty useless. But at least they're the best of the shit.
You go ahead and vote for them, Ben. I don't know if I can.
Well, who are you going to vote for? You're not going to vote?
I swear I'd rather vote for a Monsieur Lekoto. I mean it. I don't want to reward the DA for being as stupid as they are.
But there's no one really worth rewarding.
Yeah.
There's still the SABC. ACDP. ACDP.
Kenneth Meshwood.
Yes. Well, I saw he was campaigning over the weekend.
I'd like to get him in here, actually. Yeah. I mean, I don't like his super religious take on everything.
Again, what a waste of time. The DA is only people that seem to have an interest in good governance. Ben, an interest, Gareth.
All right, Ben. Here's more about your party. In the second story for this morning, the Democratic Alliance has called on Finance Minister Tito Mboweni, who, of course, is delivering his budget speech this week, to not award any more bailouts to SAA.
Oh, horror. How? What about your dicks, Gareth? How dare they do that? See, they have an interest in good governance and people. I mean, this is like New Age virtue signaling. Ah, the DA are shit. No doubt they're
okay,
shit.
Okay, all right,
but
okay.
What else is there? Oof, at least these guys give a slight toss.
Let's not climb into personal and party political stuff.
It's not party political stuff, Gareth. This is common sense.
All right. The party says there's no reason for SAA to still be in business.
Yes.
We all agree.
Correct, there.
Adding the national carrier is cursed by maladministration and corruption.
Has any party uttered these words? No.
The Supreme Court of Appeal this week ordered SAA has to pay its rival, Comair, 1.1 billion rand to settle an anti-competition case that dates over a decade back. Isn't that awful? They're not only losing it running the business, but they're losing it managing the competition. It's just crazy. They are so cuck at what they do. I don't think that our parastatals have any competition in the world for how bad they are.
No.
Like, I really don't think anything has ever been run as badly as South Africa's parastatals. If you tried, you couldn't find a worse example of maladministration and crappy admin. Crappy management. Mm. Just a total dereliction of duty. I would love anyone who studies business to just do a doctoral thesis on how to not run a company and use Eskom or SAA as the example. Because everything they've done, they've made the wrong decision. It's just crazy. And I also read, Ben, you were telling me as well this morning that you'd read it, that Cyril says no one will lose their jobs at Eskom.
No, absolutely no one.
He said that officially.
These are the headlines that are out there, yeah?
So if Cyril doesn't fire anyone, how does he expect to fix Eskom? You know, I sometimes wish I could sit down with these guys in government and say to them, your ideology has trapped you so much that you're unable to be practical anymore. Like, imagine if your ideology told you, in order to get my life together and move ahead and be better, I'll have to shoot my wife and children. Are you going to listen to that ideology? No, you're obviously going to go, okay, this is no longer practical anymore. Throw it away. It's amazing, though. They're held by the balls by the trade unions, who, by the way, are not nearly as powerful as they used to be. They're held by the balls by this idea of a government-controlled power utility. It's just unreal. I mean, someone almost has to shake them, that they rattle their heads around a little bit and the brain moves around a bit, because it seems it's atrophying in all of these government people.
Good point, Gareth, but let's critique the DA strategy.
Ben. You're allowed to do both, Ben. You can do both.
I know, but why must they have the same weighting?
No, they don't. I don't think that that's...
But whenever the DA does something, it gets critiqued, right?
Of course it does.
Because the strategy isn't stupid.
The ANC is so beyond redemption, it's not even worth critiquing them. The general criticism is so bad already that there's no point getting into specifics of the ANC. So I agree with you. They're not even comparable. But it doesn't mean that you have to reward a party who's just marginally shit as opposed to a party who's been comprehensively shit.
I'm not saying it's rewarding, but I mean, you've got to give credence to what they're trying to do. At least give a shit.
Right now,
if someone could actually provide electricity, they would be the person to vote for.
Fair enough.
So let's realize that this
fair enough,
this cesspit that we're in, and then comment accordingly.
I think the slight...
We want to hold the DA to the highest regard. Guys, we don't even have any power.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing.
We have a billboard where they're actually addressing it, because people are clearly so pig shit stupid in this country. There actually needs to be a billboard going, oh, okay, so it's the ANC didn't give us power. Oh, shit, I didn't actually know. Because some people don't even know. They don't even know.
You're right.
I totally hear what you're saying, but it's sad and frustrating that our bar is so low.
But it is, and it's actually hurting me to realize this, but maybe the DA strategy isn't actually that bad, because they actually have to spell it out.
They know their markets.
They physically have to spell out the stupidity now. Oh, that's even more depressing.
The Department of Higher Education says returning students who have qualified for a NSFAS fund loan should sign agreements and acknowledgements of debts before being allowed to register at their respective universities. Comes after campuses in Gauteng and KZN were shut down, with protesters calling for the scrapping of historical debt. So you want someone, some nameless, faceless person, some entity to pay for you to go to university, and then you want that debt scrapped. You don't want to have to pay it back. You want free stuff, basically. You want free stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's not how life works. And if you think that that's how it's going to be after you've got your degree, because you're only thinking short term here. If you're a student who's got this NSFAS loan and you're complaining about how, you know, you don't want the debt carried, you don't want to actually have to pay back anybody. Well, let me remind you that after you've got your degree, you still have to go out there and be employed. And any employer who sees that you're the kind of person who doesn't pay back your debt is not going to hire you, because they know that you're a child and you want someone else to look after you and you want someone else to pay for your things and you're always looking for free stuff and you're probably going to steal from the stationery cupboard. And therefore, they're not going to hire you, moron. What's wrong with people? So you get your degree, whoop-tee-doo. You think you've suddenly got a path to being employed? Mm. Who's going to employ you?
Blesser culture.
Yeah, you'll need a blesser, which means you putting out every week and picking up God knows how many STDs. However, demonstrators say some students were barred from registering because of outstanding fees which weren't paid. Well, that's a good reason to bar someone. Minister of Higher Education, Naledi Pandor, says students under NSFAS who have passed should be allowed to register despite outstanding fees. Yeah, sure. Sure. And let's just let everyone into university so that everyone has a degree. And then what? I've never looked at anyone's degree. Never. How many people we hired here over the period of the last 5 years? I've never looked at anyone's degree because South African university degrees are stupid. I mean, unless you're going to study something which is a practical profession, like you have to be a chartered accountant for certain things. You have to learn how to do accounting. You have to be a surgeon. You have to go and study medicine.
Mm. Engineer.
You've got a liberal arts degree, if you've got a degree in language or in philosophy or in commerce or even to a degree, I'd say things like economics, because I don't know that those aren't being taught in an ideological sense rather than in a practical sense at universities in this country. I'm very suspicious of you. In fact, it probably counts against you, not for you.
Really?
And I think that's how a lot of employers would feel. Yeah. You got a philosophy degree. Great. Go and try and get a home loan with that. See how well that goes for you. Well, I've been philosophizing for 5 years now, and do you have any kind of income? Well, no, I do philosophy in my spare time.
Uh-huh.
I sit with a bunch of friends.
Because if you're fed this odd ideology that's being thrown around nowadays, what asset are you to anybody?
You're just lining up for a job in government. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because in government, they'll shelter, you know, that kind of stupidity. But anywhere else, they're not. So I'm sorry, again, like this whole university thing's just out of control. And there's too much money being wasted on people getting degrees that are just pointless. And you do not deserve, you don't have a right to get to university. And I'll tell you something, it was not the most productive or useful part of my time. And if I could go back, I probably wouldn't have gone to university at all. I mean that. As someone who did go, I think it was a waste of time. Sure, if I'd studied medicine or I'd studied law, finished law, if I'd studied science, engineering, then of course that would have been very helpful, but I didn't. So actually I didn't need to go. And the last things you need to know, tip-off has led cops to a 60,000 rand drug stash in Cape Town. That's quite a lot of money. 58-year-old man was arrested at the house where an assortment of drugs, including tick and mandrax, was hidden. Illegal substances were seized and confiscated by the Mitchell's Plain Crime Prevention Unit. That's a lot of drugs. And finally, a family has survived an attack by robbers after being followed from O.R. Tambo. This has happened a few times.
Still happening.
This trend is so scary.
The police are on the lookout for four suspects who are involved in a robbery. It's understood a family was followed from O.R. Tambo on Saturday night to the Waterfall Estate before being attacked by the criminals. Authorities say a scuffle broke out before the suspects managed to escape in a white Toyota Corolla. Police's Katlego Mogale says they're investigating. Last night at 7:30 p.m., a family was attacked. One of the victims had an altercation with the suspect. So what happens is they know that you land from a trip and they're going to follow you home so that they can get your stuff that you bought on the trip, or at least that you're going to go home so that they know, you know, just have to follow you, probably tired. And they'll get all your goods. So just be aware and be very careful. pay attention. Ben, what do you have for us in the sport? Quickly, Bitcoin 3,728, Ethereum 138. On a small rise, those two. What do you have for us, Ben?
An interesting weekend of Super Rugby matches. Lots of cup football and some decent golf with Martina Navratilova also supporting Carla Semenya. All right. Super Rugby, it got underway. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting, actually. There's a lot of stories and subplots and all kinds of things, really. But essentially, the away teams, who historically never do too well in Super Rugby because, let's be honest, the travel is stupid. The away teams did well. Mm-hmm. Only one home team won over the entire weekend. The Highlanders started off by beating the Chiefs 30-27. The Rebels beat the Brumbies 34-27. The Crusaders beat the Blues in a tight one 24-20. And then the Hurricanes, they beat the Waratahs 2019. No real surprises that the Sharks beat the Sunwolves. The Sunwolves basically are the team that always finishes last. They won 45-10. And then the Stormers versus the Bulls. Well, we all know the Stormers, Western Province Rugby in general, is in a lot of trouble right now. We spoke about the amateur arm taking over, and there was all this infighting, and then there was potential player revolts, and there was a whole bunch of negative press. But a lot of people were saying, oh, yeah, but you never know. There's always more sides to the story than what's coming out in the press, and you can't believe everything that you read. The Stormers lost 40 points to 3. Okay, now this whole day was doomed, basically, because there was an overturned truck, which then got looted on the highway, so they were late getting to the match. The match started 20 minutes late.
Yeah.
They then waltzed out in their away jersey. Now, you know, with the Super Rugby superhero campaign this year.
That's what they've been spending all this money on.
All the home derbies will see the teams in their superhero outfits.
A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about this, aren't we, Sia? Yes, we are. Okay, I'll tell you about that just now. But sorry, okay. Ben, didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, maybe we can get more on the story, but the Stormers did not come out in their Thor jerseys. They just came out in their black away jerseys. So, like, what's happening here, guys? This is a big campaign. Vodacom Rugby, which obviously is an authority within this space because of tournament sponsors, they even tweeted how disappointed they were that the Stormers didn't wear the right jerseys.
Jesus, that's terrible.
So they got absolutely lambasted on the field. 40 points to 3. There was only ever one team in it. I mean, it was one-way traffic. The Bulls played bloody well, but the Stormers didn't seem to have an idea defensively. It was just dreadful. Robbie Fleck under huge amounts of pressure. Many people believe that he's only there because he drinks with the right people. Maybe correct, I don't know. But their next match is against the Lions, so talk about a tough start. Whether they wear their superhero jerseys this time
around.
He
drinks with the right people.
That's how people got ahead in rugby for many, many years, Gareth.
Wow.
Speaking of the Lions, they finally went away to the Hagawarath, and they won 25-16. Now, this is always a bogey side. It was always a dreadful fixture for them because they would never send a full team. They'd always just try, like, you know, maintain their talent because of playoff rugby, that kind of stuff. Because when you fly all the way to South America for a match, you generally always come back with some kind of flu. It's rough. But they did it. 25-16. So then I come back and they'll play the Stormers. So that was your first weekend of Super Rugby. It was actually quite interesting. It was mildly entertaining in places. And now it will generally peter out until the end. That's just not me being cynical. That's how Super Rugby works. But try to stay in it.
Okay.
I dare you to try to stay in that and The Bachelor.
All right.
Which one can you last longer?
And that one we'll talk about later too, for sure.
All right, tennis great Martina Navratilova, who famously wore shorts and obviously got a whole bunch of controversy doing so at Wimbledon.
Yes.
She has said this is absolute bullshit what's happening with Carla Semenya. Okay, she didn't use the exact words, but this is her sentiments. She said it's absolutely ridiculous that why is it that her events are being targeted, yet the sprinters and the long distance runners aren't being targeted for having too much testosterone.
And wasn't this something you said?
Yeah, exactly. So basically, IAAF have these.
Martina listens to you on the show, Ben.
I think so too. Shout out Martina. The International Association of Athletics Federations, who are just going from one bad PR incident to the next, their proposed rules look to be forcing hyperandrogenic athletes.
Hyperandrogenic.
I'm struggling with hyperandrogenic. Yeah, it's not necessarily that difficult.
There we go.
And yeah, side-eyeing me here as well. Yeah, so basically they want to make sure that if you are of different sexual development, the DSD, there we go, strong acronym there for you, then you have to medically lower your testosterone levels. So Martina's saying, what a bunch of crap. Has anyone worked out if this is maybe detrimental to the health of these athletes if you go through this process? No one's really caring about that. It's like, if Carson now has to take the stuff for 5 years, what happens when she's suddenly got cancer at 60? Then what, IAAF? Have you worked this out? Have you considered this at the very least? So she, and along with all kinds of other authorities, are backing Carson Semenya, because next week is when they actually decide on this kind of stuff. IAAF's got to put cock on block at some stage and say, right, it's this way or the other way. Sorry, that was a poorly chosen reference. But yes, that's exactly what's going on. And Carson's getting more support than detractors right now. Okay. IAAF, tough decision here. Very tough things. But sure. I do not feel any sympathy for them. I think they've been very sort of, just haven't been very professional around this whole thing from the start. But interesting that Martina Navratilova has now joined the conversation. There was a whole bunch of cup football over the weekend. In England, there was the FA Cup, where teams like Newport got to host Man City and get absolutely thrashed 4-1. Where teams like Millwall tried not to fight, even though they beat Wimbledon 1-0. And then other games like Doncaster, they hosted Crystal Palace. They lost 2-0. But the big game that everyone cares about, all the other matches went according to how they really should. Chelsea versus Man United tonight, 9:30 South African time, Monday the 18th of February, for FA Cup honours. Okay. Of course, this is the fifth round. Yeah, so I mean, we're getting to the business end. And then locally, the equivalent, the Nedbank Cup, saw Chipper United being too strong for Chakuma Cha Mazivandile.
Right,
of course. Team had high hopes, but unfortunately Chipper United just snuffed them out. Cape Omoya, they went into a thrilling penalty shootout against Mbombela United, and they won 4-2. Right. Black Leopards versus Wits, of course, earlier in that week was called off due to horrendous weather. As we said, it's been raining non-stop. Cape Town City beat Highlands Park 3-0 in a big high-profile match. And then the Magic, they basically pushed Kaizer Chiefs all the way. And then Chiefs scored a whole bunch of late goals. 3-0 they won. And Joma Cosmos, they unfortunately lost to TS Galaxy. I bet you haven't heard of half of those teams.
No, I haven't.
In the cricket, wow. The Proteas maybe pulled off one of their biggest chokes yet. This time in white clothing, which just goes to show they don't really have a preference anymore about where they choke the crap out of things. Look, they were always going to be far too strong for a Sri Lankan team that just had a dreadful tour of Australia. They were missing key players. They had no direction. They had no real names of anybody that, to have any sort of significance in Test cricket. But they didn't give up because they were here to win. Proteas, I don't know, maybe not. So the Proteas hit them a total that everyone thought was just not going to happen. It was like 305 or whatever, but they were bowled off 191 in the first innings. And with the much vaunted Proteas bowling attack, who was ever going to get more than 300? Well, I'll tell you what, Kusal Pereira, he scored 153 runs by himself. The Proteas were always basically on top here, but Pereira was just knocking it around. He was just getting there, he was getting runs, he had a great partnership with De Silva down the innings. But at 226 for 9, Gareth, the Proteas were basically already popping the beers. Well, obviously not, but I mean, there was like the end of the game coming up now.
Right.
The last wicket put on the required runs. They scored, I think, 73 or 78 runs, and they did it. One of the most famous Test victories in the history of Test cricket. And it took place in the most undeserving of venues, Durban. Durban. I mean, Durban saw the great shot colours retire. Bollocks. No one cared. Now they've seen the incredible Kusal Pereira steer his team through an unthinkable victory. One of these guys, they don't deserve anything, but they get good stuff. Anyway, so Sri Lanka are 1-0 up in the Test series.
Huh.
How very, very, very impressive. And Test cricket just keeps on delivering as the best form of the game. There was lots of golf over the weekend. The Genesis Open saw a lot of controversy as JB Holmes, he's a bit of a creepy looking ginger, let's be honest. He managed to outlast everybody. Like, the weather was just dodgy all week and Justin Thomas was killing it, and then suddenly on the back nine things got cold and they got windy. But JB Holmes just took for an eternity to play. His playing partners, they were 4 over and plus 5 for the final round. JB had a 1 under 70, I think it was. But, it's just unfortunate that slow play is starting to really kind of dog the game. It doesn't take a lot to play fast. There's various things you've got to assess while playing golf, but don't be so self-indulgent. And unfortunately, JB Holmes' win here has been marred by this. If you go onto Twitter, you'll see basically that he's up there with OJ Simpson, with about as much like from the public right now.
Sorry. I'm not meant to be laughing at that, but that's hilarious.
And locally, the Dimension Data Pro-Am, this is a fantastic event. If you're a celebrity type or you're just a good local golfer, you get invited to Fan Court for this. And like I said last week, if you win this, you get a WGC invitation. You plan a big money event where if you come stone cold last, you still make like big money. Well, Philippe Eriksson, he won it. Unfortunately, it's here. Lucas Nokia, he fell away. Yeah. He finished 10 under. He had a 76 in the final round. Philippe Eriksson, minus 21. Shape as he pulled away. Ended up winning by 3 in the end with a final round 68. So he will get the big invitation to the WGC event. And a good time was had by all. And then finally, this is a story which I find quite interesting. Toulon. That was a team that was just like the best in France, okay? Right. So if you ever want to go play club rugby, you go play for Toulon because they got big cash, big success. They were always up there. But yeah, ever since Brian Abandon left, this club seems to be going downhill. And their president, Mourad Boudjelaï, he said he just had enough of the players.
What's the president's name?
Mourad Boudjelaï.
Thank you.
Okay. He's had enough. So Julian Savia, who used to be that towering menace of a wing for the All Blacks, who scored, I think, 46 tries and 54 tests. This guy says, I want a DNA test. This isn't the guy I bought. He's useless.
Oh, my God.
He's just basically saying all these players are crap and they're all going to get tossed.
But isn't this what we've always said? It's a bit like slavery, really?
Of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is. So he said, like, since Savia's arrived, he's scored, like, 2 tries. He's been absolutely horseshit. And he wants a DNA test.
All right. Very good.
That's it for your sport today. More on Wednesday.
Ben. Thank you very much. It's time for Anthea. Are you ready for Anthea this morning? It's time for her to give us all the latest in the world of finance, of the economy. And this is, of course, budget week. So it's a big week. People still love this one, Anthea, where you're singing. It's the best. It is budget week, so where is Tito going to get more money?
Yeah, Tito's, from you, obviously.
Yeah, but how? How's he going to do that? Is he going to go for VAT increases?
Is what
everyone's talking about?
Actually, I doubt he'll put up VAT. You know, it is an election year. VAT is very unpopular with mm-hmm. your voters, so I doubt he'll do that. He's probably going to look at some soft taxes again. So your tax, your fuel levy, your CGT, maybe dividend tax. You know what it is about this country? We do love taxing the rich, don't we?
Mm.
Do
we still have a rich?
Well, this is the problem, right, Ben? Is that the more you tax the rich, the more they leave.
Yeah.
And so they'll take their money offshore. Excuse me. It's been a tough week.
Sure, we've only just started it.
Yeah.
You're like,
last week,
about 2 hours, about 2 hours into the week, and you're
enough.
And it's like, I had it. Can't do this anymore.
Longest week ever.
Oh, Jesus. All right, yeah.
He might put up estate duty, sugar taxes. And yeah, you're right. We're probably looking for about 27 billion rand.
Oh, my
And then, of
goodness.
Course, you know, we have the Eskom problem, which is just not going away. Or the electricity is going away, but not Eskom problem.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've got Moody's, who are probably going to be watching very carefully because they've still got us on negative watch, but they haven't downgraded us yet. And they've been making a lot of noise about how fiscal consolidation is so important. And on top of that, I think we're likely to see the National Treasury downgrade their GDP growth outlook. The last one they had for 2019 was 1.7%.
Yeah.
And then the Reserve Bank recently downgraded theirs as well. And I think it was, there's lots of these numbers, but I think it's in the region of 1.2 or 1.4.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're looking for National Treasury to go about 1.1, I reckon. Well, I mean, it's a big step
to down, your point about how rich people just leave when it becomes too onerous for them tax-wise. I mean, the richest man in Britain has just quit the country.
Ah, yes.
A billionaire called Sir James Ratcliffe has relocated to Monaco in a bid to save £4 billion in tax. So he's the chairman of a chemicals company, INEOS, which is a turnover of £45 billion. He and two senior executives are reportedly set to benefit from tax avoidance by moving to Monaco.
Ooh.
So when you try to squeeze rich people, they have options. They leave. Monaco is, of course, famous for its yacht-lined harbor and casinos as a well-known tax haven. And he could end up saving a fortune. Meanwhile, the Treasury of Britain could lose out on around £400 million and £4 billion separately, should it go ahead.
There's so many examples of this. And when France put up their tax as well for the wealthy, remember the actor Gerard Depardieu left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went off to Belgium, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And already, what's the guy from the movie The Life of Brian?
Yeah, Eric Idle.
Is it Eric Idle? And the other guy there? John Cleese. He's also in Monaco.
Yes, John Cleese is in Monaco, but that's because he's also trying to avoid having to pay alimony to his ex-wife.
Which is a different tax discussion altogether.
That's a lot.
So there's probably a lesson in that, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to attract foreign direct investment, one, make sure electricity is working, and two, give them beneficial tax rates. So, yeah.
And also give us beneficial tax rates, the people who actually built this place, who are here every day.
Absolutely. I cannot disagree with you, Ben. And then something we've been waiting for, ComAir finally announced last week that they'd won the settlement against SAA for their anti-competition case, which started 14 years ago. So SAA are now having to pay ComAir 1.1 billion rand plus 14 years of interest and legal costs, of course. Mm-hmm. Now, that's another issue that we're going to have to deal with in the budget, because SAA is funded by your tax money, mostly, at this stage anyway, which of course it shouldn't be. So SAA start paying at the end of this month. They've got 3 years to pay the total cost. And then no surprise, ComAir share was up as much as 31% on Friday. That's because the settlement is close to half their market cap. So half the value of the company paid by SAA. And then it closed about 21% higher. But that was mostly due to profit taking, which occurred. If the share's up 31%, of course, people who are holding are going to sell.
Yeah.
And then another share that jumped it jumped on Friday, but in fact it was down earlier on the week. Mm-hmm. In the week, it was down 25%, I think Monday or Tuesday, because news came out that Microsoft had cancelled two of its reseller agreements with EOH. This is the IT company.
Oh, really?
It was big news. I mean, it was kind of no explanation given, really, was how that went. And so, of course, EOH are still going to be able to provide Microsoft product, but they're now going to have to buy it through an intermediary, which means that that'll squeeze their margins. And so lots of drama there. You're looking at Microsoft sales contributing between 35 and 50 million rand. And so HEPS will fall, but we can extrapolate, obviously. Mm-hmm. HEPS will fall by 5%. And of course, the share was down 25%.
It bounced 25%.
Yeah. It bounced 15% on Friday, because I think people are looking for cheap shares, in inverted commas.
Sure.
This is a share that 2 years ago was 150 rand and on Friday closed around 18 rand. 1770 to be exact.
Ow.
So you can imagine the bottom pickers, right? Mm. But you know what they say, Ben, in our industry, only monkeys pick bottoms.
Oh, okay.
And then the private
schools. So poetic
schools.
And lovely.
Very. Almost like what BSDs.
And the private school business Curo released a great set of results last week.
Yeah, that is such a good business to be in at the moment, because public education is just so disgusting.
So you're
basically writing your own check.
Basically, yes.
If you're in private education and you're providing people with a service they love, they're willing to pay for.
Well, this is interesting, Gareth, because the number of learners increased by 12%, but anecdotally, I'm hearing that people can't afford to keep their children in these semi-private schools because they're putting up school fees by almost double inflation. In fact, almost triple inflation.
It's a supply and demand thing. There just
Absolutely.
Aren't enough private education institutions, so they can push up the price.
Yeah, and obviously things are growing. Our headline earnings per share was up 23%. I think this is probably still a good share to own going into the future, even though consumers are under pressure. You're right. It's a supply and demand, and there's not enough supply and a lot of demand. And also, the business is managing to hold on to kind of their margin quite significantly by increasing school fees and not spending that much on CapEx. And the question, of course, is can they expand as much? And of course, the other thing, when you think about a schooling business, you kind of, let's say you start at grade, whatever standard six is, high school. It'll take 4 years for that school to fill up. So as the business grows, the school actually fills up.
Mm-hmm.
And then what these businesses, school businesses are doing as well is they're moving into tertiary education. So now you've got previously where you had kind of the early starters growing with the school grows, if you know what
I mean.
Sure,
of course.
Yeah.
And then you take them through university as well.
There you go.
It's great.
And then Dis-Chem put out a trading update, top line growth of 10.7%, a little bit softer than we expected, even though it was particularly good. But you know, Dis-Chem have had this issue with the strike in December. So their mm-hmm. staff were striking and they burnt down one of the warehouses. I'd say growth in the business still very good, and on an adjusted basis, not bad despite the tough trading environment. And so it's another share that I'd really actually still want to hold.
All right. And what else is there?
And then lastly, Discovery put out a trading update, much weaker than expected, profit falling around 4%, but mainly that's due to costs associated with the launch of the Discovery Bank, of course, which we're all very excited about, and Vitality Invest in the UK, which they're starting up. Balance sheet still remains very well capitalized, especially after they've implemented technical new accounting measures and they were able to release quite a big sum of money from their balance sheet. You know how they banks and insurances have to hold a certain amount of cash
sure.
to cover claims against. In fact, so do we as asset managers. In case there are any claims against the institution. But from accounting practices for Discovery, they've now managed to release quite a big portion of this cash. And so, yeah, still going strong is our Discovery.
Cool. Very well, good for them. Sure.
So shall we speak on Thursday about the budget, maybe, if there's
Please,
anything interesting?
Let's. No, I think a lot of people would be fascinated to hear what your insights there might be. I think there's a lot going on, and Tito's got a lot of balls to juggle, so it would be a good idea for us to catch up then.
All right. Have a good week, guys.
Thank you so much. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot. Very nice.
After 2 hours into the day, it's a very tough week, though.
Oh, Anthea's having a horrible start yes. to a week if she says it's a tough week already.
We'll make it a good week, though.
Yes. Well, we'll try. That's what we try to do. Okay. Your calls. You know what to do. 0861-555-189. We'd like to hear from you, see what's going on in the world, and you can, of course, join in the conversation. Tell us anything and everything that's on your mind this morning. We want to hear from you. Okay? Good.
This is CliffCentral.com.